Well, I want to welcome all the brothers and sisters here this morning, and it's good to be in fellowship, and I'm mindful of the Old Testament where the prophet says, I was glad when they said, let us go up into the house of the Lord. And so this morning, I am glad to be here. I hope you guys are glad to be here also. As you probably noticed, I sat in Matt's chair, but I am no Matt. But I did dress by the normal code of our leadership. So anyway, a little bit of an introduction here. As Tracy just said, I retired from Harvest Christian Fellowship in 2012 and have been retired since. I am an ordained pastor with the International Church of the Four Square Gospel, which is basically an alternative to the Assembly of God. We talk about Four Square Gospel. I'm a Four Square Gospel man, and the Four Square Gospel is really simple. Jesus, your Savior, Jesus, your baptizer in the Holy Spirit, Jesus, your healer, and Jesus, our soon and coming King. And that is the good news for today that we have to share. Let's see, I was also going to share, as an elder, you might want to know, I've been walking with the Lord 43 years. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit 42 years. Called into ministry by the Lord with my wife for 40 years. So we've been around. This morning, if I was to ask you this question, what is your most valuable possession? What would you say? I may have had my notes out of order there, but it will work. I like simple theology. Real simple theology. God created, Jesus saves, and the Holy Spirit empowers us. I say keep your theology relevant to God's heart. God's heart is salvation and sanctification. Salvation is coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We see this in John chapter 3. Well, we actually see it in John chapter 3, where Jesus said, you must be born again. And I'm a product of the Billy Graham crusade era, where you're lost, you're sin, and you need to be saved. And Billy Graham would say, you need to be born again, which is what Jesus said in John 3, as I started to say, when Nicodemus came to him and said, and started asking him questions, and Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. Because we are a spiritual people. We walk and live in the flesh, but we're a spiritual people. We need to be born again of the Spirit so that we can receive the dynamic of God, which God is Spirit, as it says in Genesis. And so we can receive the full dynamic of God as a spirit being, and we can therefore really follow Him. Not in this old fleshy, although we live in this old fleshy, but we're called to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. So we need to be born again. I was going to say, too, my messages aren't really cream puffs and candy. My messages tend to be more meaty. It's kind of like crunchy peanut butter, Jif extra crunchy. My messages have got a lot of nuts in them, and you got to choose these nuts. And that's what God, you know, the writer of Hebrews, and we really don't know who wrote Hebrews, but he said in the fifth chapter, I'm writing this letter, he said, but you guys need milk. And he said, I want to write a letter that's meat, that's got some challenge to it. And this is what the church needs today to hear, is a word of God that's got some challenge to them so that they start growing up and seeking meat and growing and walking in sanctification. And that's the other part that God's got. He wants us to be sanctified. Sanctified means to be, we are set apart. We have a relationship with God that sets us apart from the rest of the world so that we can be a witness to the world, not by what we say, but by how we live our life according to the Word of God. As we determine it, as we understand it, as it flows through us, as we walk in it. Oh, this is good stuff. Keep your theology simple. Be born again. Know that you're saved. And then set yourself apart and walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I gotta have a sip of coffee after that. What is your most valuable possession? Have you answered it yet? Your key word for today is relationship. I was going to call it a title, but title really doesn't fit it. It's a key word. And, you know, Matt asked me to share, and so I started seeking the Lord, and he gave me Galatians. And the word relationship just kind of bombed into my mind. Okay, where do we go from here? Relationship. So I've been chewing on it for the last bit. And you got your Bibles? Would you open them to Galatians chapter 1? And let's preach a little bit out of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes, and he says, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our Father, to whom be the glory forever. Oh boy, we can just start unpacking that right there. These churches. Okay, a little background here. The Galatians was not one church, it was a group of churches. Galatians comes from the word Galatia, and today we would see it as Asia Minor, or actually Turkey. It would be Turkey. So this letter was really written, if we look at it in modern day terms, to the Turkish people of that era, although they weren't Turkish at that point in time, but today it would be to the Turkish people. And there was a problem in there with these churches. And Paul goes on to challenge this problem. We'll come back to that challenge. I need to go back here. That he might rescue us from this present evil age. We need to ponder on some things in here. Paul's rescuing back 2,000 years ago. And just for the record, this letter was written approximately 49 AD, and Paul is approximately 45 years old. And he's been called to ministry here. And so he gives us this greeting that our Lord Jesus Christ has come to deliver us from this present age. Now, the age that he is really looking at in this book is that people have come into the church, not just the church, but into the churches in Galatia, and started preaching a gospel that put him back to the law. They were called Judaizers. And Pastor Matt spoke to that a couple of weeks ago, I believe, talking about Judaizers and those Jewish Christians who reverted back to the law part and said that in order to be saved, you had to be circumcised. And so this present evil age, Paul is addressing this doctrine, that's this false doctrine that adds on to Christ's salvation, and he calls it this evil age. And so he's combating it. And I got to thinking, if he's addressing this present evil age, Well, what's the good age look like? If you got evil, then there's got to be an opposite. And so I was thinking in my chair, what would this good age be? Well, I concluded that it would be the kingdom of God. This is what we're called to. As I share and I talk about be born again and being sanctified and walking in the Spirit, it all goes back to the kingdom of God. And Paul writes to that in Romans 14, 17, where he says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I got a lot of King James in me. And so it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, we're back again in sanctification. We're called out of this present evil age. We're called to the kingdom of God. And our walks, our lives, they will have trouble in them. And I'm not demeaning that or walking away from that or not acknowledging that there isn't. There's all kinds of troubles that we go through as families of God. But the bottom line is, in our hearts and in our spirits, we should have that deep-seated revelation of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that's in us that brings us righteousness, right living. We have peace through this tribulation, and we do really have joy. I'm mindful, and I have total freedom to share this here, but a friend of mine, Scott White, some of you probably know him, maybe you don't. And my daytime job is I oversee Benton County Volunteer Program, and we arrange rides for senior citizens to their medical appointments. And I have a crew of drivers. I need more drivers. And I have clients, and I can use more clients, got to be 60 plus, to take to their medical appointments. Anyway, Scott's kind of a friend of mine. And so he had a medical appointment. And I thought, well, I'll take Scott. It'd be a good chance to share the Lord. See, our reflection of life should come out in such a way that people don't have to ask, do you know Jesus? People know that you know Jesus by the way you're living, by what you're saying, and you're not all Christianese, but you're just talking positive. You know, the greatest witness that we can have as a church is to speak positive. Even on the garbage that's going on in the political arena, that's going on in the personal level, that's happening around the world, but we have to find a way to speak positive or not speak at all. To bite our tongues and hold our tongues. And look for a way to speak a positive word to it. Put a positive spin on it. And when they ask, how can you do that? Well, you know, I used to have such problems with all this. And then, you know, I got to go in Jesus. You know, 43 years ago, I was saved, or I was lost and destined to go to hell. And, you know, Jesus impacted my life. And, you know, Jesus impacted my life in such a strong and mighty way, I cannot keep quiet at it. And when we're worshiping here, I got to raise my hands. I got to shout hallelujah. Because, you see, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm going to heaven. I knew when he came to me, when he convicted me, I was hell-bent. And he let me there for 30 days, and I couldn't eat and I couldn't sleep. I knew I was lost. But I had gone to church every Sunday ahead of that. But I was lost. But then God spoke to my heart, and he said, my son did it. I said, hallelujah! I am saved. I believe in Jesus. That's what your salvation is. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on that cross, and that because of his cross and that blood, I can now be with Christ eternally forever. Do you know what your most valuable possession is? It's your relationship to Jesus Christ. You see, if you don't have a relationship to Jesus Christ, you are eternally separated from God. You are lost, and at the end of time, I perish the thought to have to tell you that. Your most valuable possession is your relationship to Jesus Christ. And the most valuable thing that you can do is to build it up. to build it up. Anyway, I'm with Scott. I bet you thought I wasn't going to get back there to that. You know what God loves to see in his church? What he loves to hear? Laughter. Laughter. What kind of an image of God do you have? Some big old bad guy with long white hair and a cane ready to thump you on the head? Yes, laugh, because he is the most loving God. I don't know what his image is, but you know, I can see Jesus up in heaven and he is just laughing. I'll bet he's a knee slapper. That was a good one, Fink. Keep it going. Yes! We got to get real with God. We got to know this God. So anyway, I'm with Scott. And we're going into Iowa City. And we shared the Lord on the way down. And you ought to meet Scott. I should have brought him today. He goes to Harvest 365. I said, Scott, I said, tell me a little bit about yourself. I said, I understand you're a recovering drug addict. He goes, yeah, I am. I said, what was your favorite drug? Oh, that's easy, all of them. Well, Scott, now you got saved, what happened? And he said, you know, he said, my dad was a drug dealer. He said, we moved all around all the time. He said, and there were people taking pot shots at us all the time, trying to get their money, whatnot, whatnot. He said, you know, I tried God a couple of times, but he said, the last time he said I tried God, he said I was in my garage, and he said, this time, I gave it all up. And he said, I fell on my garage floor in a heap. Whew! That's exciting. Wait a minute, Lord. I only got one amen out of that. Amen. Lord, I got two amens, three amens. Do I hear four amens, five amens, six, who'll give me seven, eight, amen? You all should be saying amen. Amen. Maybe you don't know the word. Okay, repeat after me. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Woo! You know what the angels in heaven were doing at that point in time? They were shouting and saying amen. Hallelujah. God reigns. What did we sing this morning? Our God reigns. Joy to the world. Amen. Anyway, we get there. Scott says, drop me off here. I think, Scott, I think you want to be over there. Drop me off here, it'll do. Okay. I drop him off. I pick him up later and say, well, you were right. I should have been over there. It was a long walk. But anyway, I go in, and I wait, and they give you this little thing, you know, and the buzzer, and it rings, and you can go in, and he's in recovery. The doctor walks in, and Scott's pretty coherent. The doctor says, is it okay for him to be here? Scott says, yeah. And the doctor says to Scott, he says, well, he says, we completed the process, he said, and it's cancer. And Scott says, that's okay. And the doctor said, no, it's cancer. I'm standing there and I didn't sign up for this. And Scott says, it's okay. He says, I know my God.
Amen.
There we go. Scott says, I know my God. And the doctor says, well, he says, we're going to set a schedule in 2 weeks and you can meet a thoracic surgeon. Scott says, okay. See, this is tribulation, but this is also peace. This is also joy. This is also righteousness. It was the kingdom of God laying in that bed that spoke to that doctor. Oh, so that present evil age that Jesus delivered us from, looking forward to the kingdom of God that's coming, to exposit or walk down and preach a little bit more of this book of Galatians, and hit a couple of notes here that I had in my mind, that he might rescue us, Jesus might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God. We need to touch base here, according to the will of God. God has got this, he's got a program there for us to subscribe to. He's got a program there for us to walk in. It's according to his will. And the verse goes on and says, it's to his glory. So our life is a program that God preordained to his glory. That's our call. That's what sanctification does. It gives that glory to God. But it goes down on to verse 6, and it says, Paul writes and he says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you to the grace of Christ. Now, this just absolutely makes me stop and think. People, I guess, let me back up and say it this way. I have seen many people in my time of ministry come to Jesus and walk away from Jesus. They started out, so to speak, as a house of fire, and then all of a sudden, they just kind of petered out. And now, I don't know the end of the picture. I only know where our relationship divided and where they're at now. Many of them, I have no idea where they're at. I don't know the end of the picture. But I know that they were drifting from Jesus. And that tells me that there's a free will in here, is what I want to say. And this deserting the gospel. You know, I read the word, and when we talk about this deserting, the first one that comes to my mind is a person, a party, an entity that we all know too well, and his name was Lucifer. And he was a worshiping angel. He was at the throne of God. And in my mind, how could he desert that? If you're at the throne of God, at his right hand and worshiping him, how in heaven's name can you walk away? The next one that astounds me is Adam. Adam and Eve in this garden, in this perfect environment. This perfect environment that is so beautiful. We can't begin to fathom it. You know, if you go back to the beginning of Genesis, and if you look at the first three words of the Bible, in the beginning, and if you have a study tool that can take you back into the Aramaic, you will find a word called Reishith. And if you take, and that's a Aramaic word, an Aramaic term, more than Hebrew. And this word Reishith, if you unpack it through your different concordances and study materials, you're going to find out that in the beginning, and we take this here, God put a whole program together. And this program that he put together that we're walking out right now was absolute perfection, complete. It was the most beautiful and perfect thing that you can ever imagine. This is God. God created everything perfect, everything good. God never made anything bad. It went bad. It was this perfection. And this Garden of Eden would be falling in under this umbrella of this perfection. And then Adam, he walked with God. God came down in the evening and talked with Adam, and they walked together. But Adam gave up his position. How can you do that? And here's Paul talking about the same things, how quickly you're deserting the gospel. The next one that amazes me in the Word, and I just have a hard time wrapping my head around these three or four or five characters that I'm going to share here, is Moses. Moses went up on the mountain and communicated with God. And then when God spoke to him on getting water for the people, he said, "Speak to the rock," but Moses struck the rock. He rebelled against God's direct command. Why would he do that? And then there's Judas. He lived with Jesus for 3 years. He saw all these miracles. He touched, felt, lived with Jesus. And then he sold him out. And lastly, Paul writes in 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 2 maybe, but he writes in 2 Timothy, and he talks about Demas. And Demas was a missionary with Paul. And Paul says, "But Demas left me for this world." This Galatian church has got problems. And Paul's addressing problems. And they're really deserting the faith. They got bad teaching with the Judaizers, falling back and under the law and circumcision. You know what the law is in the Old Testament? Well, it's the law, obviously. But when we see it in the New Testament, what it does, the law in the New Testament smacks of religious tradition. You know what religious tradition is? It's the tradition that churches have, and I came out of a very predominant, is that what I want to say? Church that had all of these traditions and things you did, and you did that, and your real salvation was if you were baptized as a baby, and then if you were confirmed, and then you go to funerals and they say, and he was baptized at 3 months old, and he was confirmed when he was 12, and we'll see him in heaven. And no, we need to know Jesus. But the thing I want to go back to real quick is this religious tradition, and it holds us in place. It stops us from following the Spirit. You see, religious tradition works in the flesh because it makes you feel good, because you can see what you're doing, what you got to do, what you did do, and what you didn't do. Religious tradition will acknowledge a move of God, but it won't let God move any further. It won't let God move through the church, move through the people to make an adjustment of whatever's needed. There's a story about the Baptist pastor who took over a brand new church. And so he saw the piano was over here, and he realized it would work better over here. So he took the piano and he pushed it over there. And the next Sunday the church got together, they saw the piano was moved, and they fired the pastor. Because you can't do that. Because, see, that piano belongs over there. See, that's what tradition can do to the church. Not flexibility to go with what the Lord's saying and what the Spirit's saying and what the eldership is trying to do. So anyway, in this particular case, about 5 years later, his friend had taken over this church, and he decided to visit his friend. And so he walked in, and lo and behold, the piano was over here where he wanted it to be. And so he said to his friend, he said, "I took the piano over there and I got fired. How did you get the piano over there?" And his friend says, "An inch at a time." And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the way we got to move in the church anymore, is an inch at a time. But you see, with the Lord, it's like one fell swoop. God moved his hand and people were healed. That issue of blood was gone. God moved his hand. Jesus moved his hand and that boy stood up and he walked. Paul touched him and the kid fell out of the window during a long message. He was on the third story. Remember that? Can't think of the kid's name right now. It's in Acts. And anyway, he fell down dead. And Paul goes down and he picks him up and says, "Hey, wake up." He says, "I got more message for you to hear." And so he took him back up alive. You see, God wants to bring life to the church. He wants to bring life to you and I. He wants us to live in a fullness. But we got to walk through Galatians and through these examples that show us that we have to be careful. We have to pay attention to what we're doing. Like I look at the clock and say, I got maybe 5 minutes left. Unless I stretch it out a little bit. I got to get into some solution. I can't leave you in a predicament where you're nervous or fearful for anything. So I got to speed through so I can get to a solution and get you help. But I want to say this. This Galatian church, you know, I looked at it. This group of churches, I want to identify them for you. The church of Ephesus. The church of Smyrna. The church of Pergamon, the church of Thyatira, the church of Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, the church of Laodicea. Those names ring any bells to you? Galatians was written in about 49. John the Apostle wrote the Revelation of Christ in approximately 90, and he wrote it to seven churches. The book of Revelation is the same seven churches that Paul wrote to in Galatians, the Galatian churches. Now, deliver us from this present evil age. 50 years later, and what do we find in these book of in the churches in Revelation? They've left their first love. They're wrestling with tribulation. But Jesus said, "Don't worry, I'll help you overcome." They had New Age move in, Gnosticism. The Jezebel spirit, whoredoms, rebellion to the truth. One church was accused of playing church. Really, that's what it was. You think you're alive, but you're dead. I don't want to talk to us. When I speak, I should have said this in the beginning. My disclaimers, when I say you, I mean everybody, I mean me. I mean us. When I say church, I'm not talking about Blessed Hope. I'm talking about the church at large. Okay? So if you've taken this personal, please forgive me. But if the shoe fits, then I guess maybe you should wear it. Oh, shoot. You know, another church was accused of being lukewarm. They talk a good show, but the talk and the walk is far apart. This one really hurt. I think if I remember correctly, it's Philadelphia. Jesus said, "Watch out for those who want to steal your crown. They want to steal your salvation. They want to steal the awards that are laid up in heaven for us." Now there's something that I have not got a handle on yet. Awards in heaven. If I'm saved, but there's awards that Jesus is going to pass out on that day. I don't have an answer for you. I'll let you research that one. Okay, listen here. Let's wind this puppy down. What have I said? Has it made sense? You know, I'm a kind of an interactive type person here. Has it made sense to you? Are you with me on what I've said? Just, that's what I want. None of this, all of this. Oh, man, I'm going to get dizzy here. Okay, a personal relationship. The key phrase, relationship. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's staking everything you own on the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died on the cross just for each one of us, and that if we accept that, then we are right with God, because he sent his Son that nobody should be lost, but that the whole world might be saved through him. For he didn't send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but those that are condemned already for not having believed in the only name of the Son of God. So all we have to do is accept the fact that Jesus died for me, and that's what I received when I touched the Bible, and God just spoke to me, and he said, my Son did it all. And I just said, hallelujah. For you, Jesus did it all. Set that fact down in your heart. Another thing, this is just plain basic type stuff in my thinking, but in your spirits or in your heart, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Have you heard that phrase? Have you repeated that phrase? Do you know how it goes? You do, Dee. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He never made junk. You are not junk. No matter where you're at in life, you're not junk. God has got the highest ideal for you. But the devil came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And if you subscribe to that, he's winning. But Jesus said, I came to give life and life abundantly. And if you subscribe to that, you're going to start winning. You're going to start winning the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The other thing is you got to read the Word. Get the New Living Translation. Get the Old King James. Whatever you get the Bible and start reading the Word. And get that down in your hearts. Get that down in your spirits. You realize you're really a spirit person. And get this down in your spirit. Verses. I saw it somewhere. Malia posted it. Galatians 2:20 is my life verse. I got LVs in my Bible. L period, V period, life verse. Galatians 2:20 is a life verse for me. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live now in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Just one? That's your verse too. Come on, Jesus, free up their hands. Yes! This is you also. I kind of talked about religious tradition and kind of knocked my former denomination, whom I really do love. It taught me 10 principles. I'm sorry. Principle one, I am the Lord your God. I have delivered you out of the house of bondage. Principle two, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Principle three, take not the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. Principle four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Go to church. You're here, praise God. Those that don't go to church, they're missing the boat. And they think they got problems in life. Well, sure. Oh, sorry. Rant. Delete, delete, delete. Principle five, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon this earth, which I have given thee. And it goes on. Lay a foundation to live in. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, my Lord and Savior, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He rose again on the third day, and he sitteth at the right hand of God our Father in heaven, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, and the communion of saints, and forgiveness for life everlasting. Don't let your relationship be stolen. Don't desert your relationship with Jesus Christ. Live in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the primary thing that you have. Okay. Does anybody have any questions? I hope I made it clear. If you have any questions, Matt and David will be back tomorrow. Feel free to talk to me. I want to see people set free to live in the dynamics that God has put before us.